Thanks for tuning into the Let's Get Ready Network, the place for coverage of all the things you love. On this feed, we cover movies, TV, video games, and more. If you're interested in supporting the network, you can do so on our Patreon at patreon.com/LGR_network. And please leave a rating and a review of this episode. Enjoy the show, everyone.
Almost the full way through the first season. Still got a placeholder here, guys. Still placeholding. It's fine. It's just a little shock to the system, a little abrupt. It's like the stop short, in a car. Welcome everybody back to Rewatchers Council. We're here. I'm Snark. My buddy Adelia's here on the council with us. Maybe joined by another council member, Ferris Muthana. In the near future, we may not. He's a busy guy.
We're not sure.
What do you want from this guy? He's busy.
He is.
Terribly busy guy. iRobot Eugene. Not a fan of this title at all. There's just something.
I don't understand this title.
Well.
This episode.
Yeah, I guess. Well, we'll get into it. I guess the robot bit, but any kind of Tarzan-ish stuff about it? No, it's just.
I didn't get that Tarzan reference at all.
It was, yeah, there is none. There isn't a Tarzan reference at all in this. I don't know. Now, this is 1997. I can't think of any kind of catfishy stories like this before. So I'm going to say this is the first catfish story I've ever. I think this is before there was even called catfishing.
Yeah, I didn't hear catfishing as a term for much later than this episode would have aired.
Right. Now, also, you're going to hear a lot in this episode, a lot of 90s style internet jargon. It's an episode of its time, for sure. Speaking of its time, it originally aired April 28th, 1997. You remember what you were doing?
No, but I was in high school.
It was like 2 weeks after my birthday. Probably it's a huge blur to me. Now, it was written by a couple of people. Ashley Gable, in honor of Ferris, I like to point out some of the shows he may have read or seen some of their work. The Mentalist, Designated Survivor, Adelia. William Bibbiani put on Twitter once, said, "What is the worst show you ever watched every episode of?" I said Designated Survivor. It got two likes, one from Bibbs and one from the guy who was the showrunner of Designated Survivor. So at least he gets it.
That was that one where Kiefer Sutherland becomes the
president, right? A bomb or a missile goes off in their State of the Union is going on. He's the guy who had to stay behind and stuff like that. Yeah, it is awful, awful television. And then the last year, they put it on Netflix or something like that, so there's so much more swearing and stuff like that. It's like it's jolting. It's as jolting as our theme song. Anyways, he also did she also did Person of Interest. It was also written with the help of Thomas Sweden. He did Xena, the Warrior Princess. So
that's a show that I love.
Yeah, sure. That's a fantastic show. Not as big a fan of Hercules. But there's that Jack of All Trades or whatever with Bruce Campbell. Not too bad. And Soldier of Fortune. I have no idea what that show is.
I haven't heard of that show either.
Right. Directed by Stephen Posey. He's done a bunch of stuff. I'll just say Deep Space Nine. Speaking of Deep Space Nine, wait for next week. The aforementioned Hercules. Mm-hmm. Pacific Blue, who featured Charisma Carpenter in that show, and Tour of Duty, fantastic show. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's a Vietnam show, and the theme song was Painted Black by the Stones. It's very good for its time. Very good show.
Never heard of it.
Now, there's a new number one movie Adelia.
Liar, liar is gone.
Liar, liar, out. And actually, this play takes place 2 weeks after the last episode. So I think there was actually another number one movie. It was in there for like a week, but it doesn't get to get mentioned. Not worth it. Because the number one movie this week, one of the all-time classics of 1997, and that is a huge lie because not many people remember Volcano. I remember Volcano. It came out, it was the two movies side by side, Volcano and Dante's Peak, the two Volcano movies that nobody needed, except for the week of April 28th, when Volcano was the number one. Was that the one with... what's his name? Tommy Lee Jones. I think that's Tommy Lee Jones.
I have no idea.
Tommy Lee Jones and Volcano. And the number one song in the U.S. Yes, that's right. Can't Nobody Hold Me Down. Really?
Still Can't Nobody Hold Me Down.
It was released at the right time, 2 days after
after Biggie
got killed. So yeah, they're pretty.
I remember that song being absolutely everywhere for months, so that doesn't really surprise me.
I just kind of remember it, like I from the title, I would had no idea. I had to look it up on YouTube. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember.
Oh,
this.
As soon as you said the title, I was like, I know exactly what song that is.
Let's see. In England, got a new number one. We went from one monster to another.
Hey, look who it is.
Speaking of monsters, this guy isn't a monster.
Popping up like Malik.
Oh, my God. Oh, yes. You're almost as pixelated, too.
and you Blood... look like him.
Oh, my gosh. Blood on the Dance Floor. What is that? Number one song. It was a Michael Jackson song. Nobody
knows. I've never heard of that song before.
There you go.
Blood on the Dance Floor.
I guess so.
Never heard of it.
I'd never heard of it either. That's the English for you. Now, the DVD synopsis here, folks. Willow unwittingly unleashes a powerful demon named Moloch into the internet, where he turns Sunnydale's computer crowd into his helpless pawns. Now, I don't think that's unless the computer crowd is just like the three of them.
It was
them three, really. Yeah,
I mean, really, that's all who's in the library at the beginning before she scans the book is those guys, Willow, Xander, and
I guess when we get to that warehouse-ish computer lab, there's another guy that's going to help them out. But but first, let's get this episode started. Now, it's our first little flashback beginning. This is something that's going to happen.
Oh, yes, it was.
A bunch of times in this show. It goes back to Cortona, Italy, in the year of our Lord, Ferris, 1418.
Yeah, that was a long year ago.
Yeah. Just so you guys know, I have no recollection of 1418. All right? Not that old.
Just 1480.
How dare you? How dare you, sir? So now there's a sketchy demon wants love from this guy named Carlo, which is fine. Carlo says, sure. So sketchy demon just snaps his neck.
Yeah.
So like, does he absorb him after he killed him? Like the like energy, it. The vibrance, the like is that why he killed?
I think
or he just wanted to kill him.
I think he just likes killing.
Okay.
This is just an easy one or whatever. And the guy is like, it's all weirded out. The second time it happens.
Yeah, I just saw your name. Just saw your name.
Well, thank you very much. So we find out that
did you notice that today? Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you also react the same way I did, or you just didn't care?
Tis the season. No. Well, she saw this before.
It was like that on Starting 11.
Yeah. I just figured.
Should I change my name to like Frosty the Muthana Man?
Fair. Yeah. That's
do whatever cool. you want.
Yeah. That might work. So yeah, Moloch, turns out he mesmerizes people. All right.
Not with that face.
Yeah. It's like, what? Yeah.
He was ugly. He was, yo, man. Saying, calling a man, calling a person butt ugly, that's a compliment to Moloch. Yeah, that dude was nasty looking.
The Italians have different tastes. The Italians have different tastes. They like Roberto Benigni and scaly dudes with horns. Exactly, Ferris.
Who's Roberto Benigni?
Ferris is so young. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, who's Roberto Benigni?
Nice. He he's an Italian actor and director who won an Academy Award for Life Foreign Language Film for Life is Beautiful.
He went Best Actor as well, I believe.
And he went a little ballistic and was jumping on chairs and it was fun.
He's an Italian clown, basically. He's like the Italian Jerry Lewis or something like that.
My bad. When you said Roberto, I think of Biagio. Baggio?
Yeah, Baggio.
Is it Baggio?
Yeah, you're thinking Baggio? Of the U.S. World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guy with the rat tail on the back of his head.
Awful. What a disgusting look. What a look in those huge shirts everybody had. Ugh, oh, my God. Well, this isn't long after that. This is only 3 years after that. So at least they got it better in Sunnydale. Clothes are a little better. So,
you know anything about the Bocellis?
What? Like Andrea Bocelli?
Yeah.
Say goodbye? I have no idea about them.
My friend interviewed them.
Really?
Yeah, for their radio show. Well, one of the people on their team interviewed them for their radio show because he got sick. So they had to interview them. Like, he canceled all his shows in America because he got sick, but he did the interview for them.
But he had to do some local radio. I like it.
Yeah, man. Shout to Crave.
Mm-hmm, sure. Now, guys, these priests have it figured out.
Yes, they do.
Right? And they're like, okay, we're gonna do an incantation. We're gonna trap them in this book. All right. So they form what's called the Circle of Kalis. And again, another Star Trek-y thing. I think Kalis is the name of the god that the Klingons worship. I guess he's like the warrior Jesus for them or something like that.
I prefer the Orville.
The what? Oh, the Orville. You like that one? So
love it.
They do the and he's nowhere even around. Like, usually with these spells and stuff like that, you know, the guy's got to be there. There's got to be some kind of threat to these people, right? And they got to have, you know, these guys are just far off in a different castle or whatever, and they say the things or whatever. And here comes Moloch into the book. It's pretty simple. Now,
it's very simple.
Yeah. Very, like, easy peasy, beautiful cover girl, simple.
So these guys have the hard part figured out. Right? Let's get them in the book. Next. Easy enough. Let's destroy the book. No. What are they going to do? Let's
save the book.
Let's put it in a wooden box where it's easily accessible to anybody and anybody could read it.
Well, Rob, if they destroyed the book, they release them again, right? So they
How about you bury it?
Yeah.
Cover it in concrete and stuff like that.
Well, they didn't perceive the fact of how Western society wants to pillage the ancient world, and they probably did hide it, and someone someone pillaged it, found it, and sent it. You know what I mean? It happens all the time. It's like with Egypt, when they go to Egypt and go into the caves and the tombs and they desecrate what the Egyptians did with the sarcophaguses. You know, the disgusting Western European practice of completely raping and pillaging Egypt like that. It happens all the time.
Jeez, now.
Sorry.
Okay, so
I don't know why I went serious for a minute.
That's fine. Gee whiz. So if you were going to trap a demon in a book, would you just paint a picture of the demon on front saying this is the demon's book? They painted a picture of the demon on the book.
Well, I mean, I can understand that to a certain extent, because then it's like, oh, that's the book with that demon in it.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't read it.
Well, also, too, you know, the demon is him. So, like, his essence branded the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and you know what? You know, history gets lost over time and stories get lost over time if you don't write them down. So people forgot that was probably Moloch.
So this book was lost over time.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if something gets lost over time, it's going to end up in a
library.
Southern California school library.
Yes.
Just in time for the vampire slayer to maybe do it, and she's the one who pulls it out. Oh, look, a book. Okay, so they're in the library. For some reason, the computer nerds are all in the library with their computers, scanning books onto the, I don't know what it's for, the school database or something like
probably.
That. Yeah, I don't know probably. What it is. One of them is played by Dave, one of them named Dave. Played by Chad Lindbergh.
Yes! Yes. Oh, and I was like, you look familiar, Dave. You look familiar. Where have I seen you, Dave? Where have I seen you? You know where I've seen him, Rob?
What procedural is on?
Man. No, it's not a procedural. It's not a procedural. You know where I've seen him from?
I know.
Here, I saw him from The Fast and the Furious. He is Jesse. That's Jesse. Oh my God. I was so happy. I was like, why does this dude look so familiar? It's Jesse. Oh yeah. My God. Oh, my. And of course, oh my God, you know, and then I got kind of, and then I kind of knew what was going to happen to him.
Oh boy. Yeah. Also, yeah, he was on Supernatural, Star Trek Picard, I guess. NCIS.
Yes, he was on, yeah, he was on NCIS.
He was also on a procedural.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was also, well, I know him from The Fast and the Furious. I don't know him from NCIS. Right. He was also a meth dealer in Sons of Anarchy.
Oh boy.
And there you go.
Yeah. I've also watched Sons of Anarchy.
He's a popular guy. Buffy gives him the book and asks him to skim it. Giles tells him to skim it. He's corrected and says, scan it. He's corrected by Jenny Calendar.
Guys. I was so excited to see her.
Yeah. Her actress name is Robia Scott, and she's been in 90210, CSI, Ferris. She was also in...
Which one?
I don't know. The original ones, the original.
Is it just CSI?
The original one, yeah. The one in Vegas.
Yeah. Not confused with CSI Las Vegas now.
No. The original.
The original one.
The original. The one that, yeah, I don't know. They were all annoying to me. Anyways.
Hey, they had Ted Danson.
There are far too many of these things.
There was like four of them. There's like six.
But they all lasted.
Lord of the Rings
forever.
Movies. You can
there
keep
was four of them that lasted forever, except for the cyber one. Cyber one.
Ferris, here's the thing. There's six Lord of the Rings movies, but it's all a continuous story. Yeah. There are all these different CS. There's so many different CSIs and NCISs and all of this. I don't know That's which true. What.
There's NCIS, NCIS Hawaii.
We don't need to go through all of them.
New Orleans.
How dare you?
CSI. Okay. Miami, New York, CSI.
You're forgetting the Sydney one. There's Sydney
NCIS
one.
NCIS Sydney, that's the new one. CSI Cyber with Bow Wow.
NCIS Des Moines.
There should be at this.
Fun fact, I think the first ever episode was in Des Moines.
Oh my gosh.
I had to fly to Des Moines.
Let's get back on track.
Right. So yeah, she was also in a couple of Prince videos.
Oh wow.
She was Pearl, like in Diamonds and Pearls and stuff like that. So ooh, there you go.
Okay.
Of course, becomes important to the show. I was surprised that I always remember her being around before, but of course it was this episode. It's fine. So she's the computer science teacher. Giles is unimpressed by her. He's unimpressed by computers. He's, of course, an old stuck-up British fuddy-duddy.
I agree with him.
He calls computers... Idiot boxes.
Idiot boxes.
Yeah, she has to remind him that that's TV. That's the TV. Yeah, it's been called that for a while. And then we get a pretty aggressive geek named Fritz.
Von Erich.
Nope.
Fritz. I know.
He's played by Jameson Ryan. The only other two things we saw from The Last Dawn. I don't know if you remember that.
Don't know what that is.
No. And then something called Murder Live.
Don't know what that is either.
Never heard of it. Never. But it has Mark Helgenberger. So there you go, Ferris. It's all coming back together for you.
Who?
Mark Helgenberger from CSI.
How dare you, sir?
What's the good you?
Oh, my God. Okay. So So I wrote down what the geek says. He's all angry, saying the printed page is obsolete. Information isn't bound up anymore. It's an entity. The only reality is virtual. If you're not jacked in, you're not alive.
Life.
Ferris, are you jacked in?
No, dude. I don't even know how to hook up my email to my calendar to my phone.
Honestly, when was the last time anybody ever talked like this? It's got to be 1997. This must have been the only
one. Absolutely, yeah.
Like, it's jacked in. Was that even? I can't remember. I wasn't a big computer guy then. I'm hardly a big computer guy now. But I don't remember anybody else ever saying the words jacked in. I'm going to keep saying it.
I was a big computer person back then, and I don't even remember.
Here's a fun fact. Here's a fun stat. Jenny informs Giles that for the last 2 years, there's been more email than regular mail. The last 2 years. Yeah.
I can't imagine what that statistic is now.
Oh, yeah. No. My brother's a mailman. He's probably got the easiest job. He's like the Maytag repairman these days. They just sit around doing nothing. So, it's a fact that Giles regards with genuine horror. So the class leaves. Everyone except Willow. Willow, of course, sticking around. Scanning.
She's a nerd.
Scanning some books with like a blue light.
Cash out checking.
Well, yeah, it's like to check to see if the bills are counterfeit or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no way that this thing would work. Also, the program she's using, Scan-O-Matic. Scan-O-Matic. It's pretty nice. It's a nice little bit of French flair on it. It's a classier.
I love how sometimes they just don't care. They just don't care. No.
So
call it Scan-O-Matic, but give it a French flair.
Yeah, let's make it interesting, guys.
Yeah, let's make it interesting here.
Scan-O-Matic sounds too, you know.
Just, yeah, it's too American.
Too lunch pail.
Yeah, too lunch pail.
Yeah. Okay. So, guys, she scans the Mollet book. Now the words have disappeared from the pages, and she turns off. She just clicks off. Like everybody in the show, just clicks off the monitor. No one ever turns off computers. They just click on the monitors. Anyway, she leaves, and then on the monitor, the words come up. Where am I? You know what that means. No one knows what that means yet. We'll see. So, next day, Buffy feels Willow has a secret, and she says she's been talking to someone online. Like, this happened very fast. I don't think
it's the next day.
I think there's
a little bit of a time jump, because I think she says last week.
Oh, really?
She met the guy.
Oh, yeah. I just figured out it was just like the next day. And like, mm-hmm. You've been talking to this person that much, you're in love with him in 1 second. It's like, oh, all right. So, oh boy, the new boy's name is Malcolm, which is, you know, can't be Moloch.
Yeah.
So she says she's been talking to him online. Buffy does not know the term online.
Like this in is, line? You mean like in line? Like you're in line?
No, like online. But she doesn't know the term.
I know, Rob. She says
1997. People were confused with online.
One of my friends met their girlfriend in line.
What? Really?
They were in the line and they met their future girlfriend. Yeah. Chat to my boy Billy.
Weird. So Jenny comes into class and wearing sunglasses. And every time I see her, I think she's hungover. Uh-huh. Every time I see that scene, it's like, oh, Jenny tied one on last night. I get it. So gives a
Miss Calendar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So you kept calling her Jenny, and I was like, who the hell is Jenny? What the hell?
That's Jenny. You'll know her more as Jenny going forward.
Yeah. Jenny Calendar. Yes.
It's like I've never watched the show.
That's because you haven't.
Yeah, that's right. Also, one guy thing, guys. I don't miss computers saying you have mail. I think that's pretty annoying.
I don't either.
I like it.
You know how many emails I have in my...
That's a good point. You know what? I don't like it. Not at all.
Tens of thousands. I never empty my email. I'm the worst at it. So
that drives me insane. I just want you to know, because I have to have my inbox empty.
Oh, I couldn't care.
Rob.
Yeah.
I'm with you, man.
Yes. So Buffy does not trust this Malcolm guy from the get-go. Another thing I saw and I thought was weird. Why is there a camera on a computer at school? Like one of those little camera things. Doesn't make any sense.
That was weird.
Anyways, luckily for the plot, Moloch uses it to find who Buffy is in the database. Also, here's something. I don't know if you guys noticed this. So they print up the database thing. It shows Buffy's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
October 24th, 1980. That is not her birthday.
Canon.
Yeah, that's not her birthday in canon. I think it's a January 19th, 81 or something like that.
Why is that not in canon?
She's not 17, so.
Right. Yeah, so Yeah, it's a
17-year-old sophomore, because it did say she was a sophomore.
Yeah. Anyways, also, she's in this is a school, and the picture of her is just like some casual picture or whatever. Like somebody like far away took a picture of her.
Yeah,
that's creepy.
Well, no, she's a transfer student, remember?
Yeah, but you'd figure they could find a better picture or more proper picture from the other schools.
What if they asked the mother, can you provide a photo?
And she just provided one that was taken from somebody far away or whatever.
I don't know, Rob. Don't be asking me. I never had this happen to me.
This is the place.
That whole computer record was weird. Let's just leave it at that.
That's true. So, the info was then sent to Fritz, and the words watcher show up. Like, all right, this Fritz guy. And he has that weird, creepy smile or whatever. And everybody says something like game on or something like that. It's the worst guy. Anyways, luckily for Willow, Malcolm doesn't talk like someone who'd have a hairy back. Is that something you've never just figured out?
What on earth was this?
I don't know.
That threw me off. I was thrown off.
Yeah. Buffy says she's just looking out for her and she's happy she met someone. Meanwhile, online projects are being rewritten. Turns out one guy had a project where saying that the Nazis were right in what they were doing and stuff like this.
That scene was wild. Yo, that's like that. You want to talk about just like going left or right? You want to talk about going just completely right out of nowhere? Like, why do you think that was, like, why add that part? What's the point of having that in your movie, in your TV show? Like, why did you have to point out that someone wanted you to say that the Nazis were good?
Proving Moloch was a jerk. I think that's all.
Yeah.
Let's just prove he's a jerk.
That was crazy.
Now, Willow bails on going to the Bronze with Xander, hanging out or whatever. Buffy thinks that Xander's jealous.
He is. No, he is.
Maybe a little. Because
here's my note on them. Here's my note on them, by the way. I think he's a horrible person. Okay. He's a horrible person because he knows she likes him. He knows it. And he enjoys the attention from her. And he's using her attention as just kind of like a string, you know, like when you do a string, like a ball of yarn with a cat and you just kind of. You're like, yo, here's the ball of yarn. The cat's like trying to hit it. He's doing that to the poor Willow. And you know what? Screw Xander.
Well,
I
think he's actually completely oblivious to it.
Yeah.
Then he is the dumbest man on planet Earth.
I think he mentions that himself a lot in this show. Take his word for it. So, Xander just saying he's looking out for her. He's talking about who anybody could be, anybody online. He could be an elderly Dutch woman online, which is, you know, true.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah. So they think they're overreacting to the possibility. Yeah,
I tell people I'm a good person online.
You are a good person, Ferris. Right, don't do that.
All right, fine.
We'll see. Let's see. Yeah, they think they're overreacting to the possibility that Malcolm is a monster, right? Malcolm is a monster, not just a sitcom in the 1990s. That was Malcolm in the Middle. So, next thing you see.
I don't think that was in the 90s, but yes.
Malcolm in the Middle?
No, I think that was the early 2000s.
Oh, my God. It all runs together. I swear it was in the 90s.
You're not the boss of me now.
Yeah. Oh, maybe you're right. So, next thing you see Fritz cutting himself.
Like, why is he digging an M into his arm?
And keep saying he's jacked in.
I'm jacked in.
I was very confused by that.
This Fritz guy is creepy.
What the director and the producers, why did you match like the Nazi scene, the human branding scene? Yeah. I'm just like,
okay, I kind of understand the Nazi one.
Yeah,
because
Moloch's a Nazi.
If you're gonna use one historical event that everyone knows who the bad guys were in the historical event, it's that.
That's right. So. Willow, the next day, Willow comes in a little late for school. She comes in about 5 hours later, I guess. They said this comes in for fifth period. This is not like Willow at all. Willow gets a little frustrated with Buffy when she mentions that, and saying that Malcolm knew that she wouldn't approve. So whatever. She wouldn't takes understand. Off. Yeah. Then Buffy asks Dave if she can find out who someone is online by tracing their letter. Their E letter.
That's right? So crazy to hear this stuff.
Yeah. Then she asks if the computer
that's, like that's the IP address now, right?
I guess so,
now,
yes.
Now that would be their IP address, yes.
Okay. Right. Yeah, they would have no idea what that was back then. No idea at all. So crazy. They asked if a computer could be traced because Willow has a friend. That's when Dave gets up and says, "You leave Willow alone." Then he then he goes back to his computer and he says he'll talk to her later. What? What are we now? He says, "I'll talk to you later." Like they're friends? I'm pretty sure that Buffy and this Dave guy had never been friends before. Anyways, whatever.
No, doesn't I think he was talking to the computer.
Yes.
Like he was talking to Malik.
Oh, no, he was talking to Buffy. Yeah, he was just like, yeah. Anyways, we go and we see Giles. They decide to split up or whatever. And Giles gets the tech-based problem. He's not exactly
happy,
feeling up to it. And she follows Dave, which she does. Ends up at a place named CRD. All right. This one, the security cam pans to Buffy, relaying it to Fritz. The screen tells him to kill her. And this is when he says, "Party." Like, this guy made no sense.
This is very weird, Fritz. He's very weird.
Mm-hmm. So, Xander knows that CRD means Calyx Research and Development, a computer research lab. Used to be Sunnydale's third largest employer. And then he responds to their shocked faces by saying, "What, I'm not allowed to know something or whatever?" And Giles said, "Well, this is somewhat unprecedented."
That was my favorite line. Right.
That should cut me off, girl. I was laughing my ass. I was like, because he said, you're a doofus, mm-hmm. and you just shocked us.
Yeah. See? Not smart. So anyways, Buffy says that her spidey sense is tingling. Giles has no idea what the term spidey sense is. Also, I believe this is the first Spider-Man reference we get in Buffy.
Spider-Man will not
be the last.
Spider-Man's worldwide, man. Spider-Man's the only superhero that can have a movie by itself and make $1 billion.
He wanted to be a grocer or a jet pilot.
I mean, that's not true, Ferris, but okay.
So Buffy and Xander decide to break into CRD.
I'm talking about back in the day.
they're quite excited about going to break into CRD, actually. Jenny comes in. Her and Giles bicker, of course. She's surprised that the kids are at the library again. All the parents seem to be in this place, which is fine. But they're talking. The computer's talking. Right? How many, the school computers just have, cameras and voice boxes? Is that a thing?
It's the speaker?
But I remember the 1990s. It was very rare for you to type something and then have it.
Because when Willow, after this scene, when Willow was talking to Malcolm, when he outed himself, mm-hmm. He was, the Malcolm bits of the conversation were being said out loud by a robot voice.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
It's a little strange. I guess they had to have some kind of narration so they didn't have to keep going to the screen all the time, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a plot thing, I guess. It's just, I don't know. I remember those days and that just did not happen ever. Mm-hmm. So Willow is online talking with Malcolm and she wants to meet Malcolm. They want to meet face to face. He mentions that Buffy is a troublemaker. And that she got kicked out of her old school. Hold on a second. What? Wait a minute.
How do you know that?
And she says, permanent records. You must have told me. And so she gets a little waked and again, leaves, turns off the computer. How, Adelia?
By turning off the monitor.
Just turns off the monitor. The easiest way to turn off a computer. Wouldn't it just kind of hold up or whatever, and you turn it and it would be right back to the same place? Anyways, we go back to Jenny and Giles. Jenny Calendar, Ms. Calendar, Ferris for you. More nattering, computers suck, blah, blah, blah. Books are dumb, blah, blah, blah. We're creating a new society here. No thanks, blah, 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 blah. Giles mentions, now, this is a nice little bit that Giles had. He says, so he mentions that books have a lot more to say than web pages. Jenny opens a certain book, of course, I'm going to go on to the Giles thing in a second. Jenny opens a certain book with a painted guy on it, of course, to the part where there's no words, and says, this book does, this part doesn't have any words or whatever. Giles gets spooked looking at the cover. Then he leaves, leaving Jenny at the library for some reason. Meanwhile, more online mishaps are happening. Stuff with the guys' medications and stuff like that. Like, all right. Dave finds Buffy, tells her Willow wants to see her in the women's locker room, in the girls' locker room. So it's like, all right.
Yep.
But, guys, Willow's not there. It's Fritz.
Mm-hmm.
And he started a shower and somehow has run a live wire into the shower room.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Yeah, I said he put it at the back of the thing so that the water would come closer in a Blofeldian attempt to try and murder Buffy. Just as the live wire is starting to hit the water and you hear the sizzle, because
Dave had a crisis of conscience.
Dave runs in, get out of there, Buffy, and she jumps. And her shoes are smoking and stuff like that. But, oh, thank goodness. She jumped out of there faster than a heart can beat. So she saved by Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Dave is obviously going to become an important part in the lore of Buffy. He's going to be around for a long, long time. Don't worry about it. He'll be fine. He tells her that he then goes to a computer. He tells the computer he won't do it. Computer says, he promised. Then he tells Dave, you can have anything you want as long as, and all he wants is his love. So, yeah, guys, I'm thinking that Malcolm is probably Moloch at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You guys figured that out too? So,
I think we figured it out a little bit earlier.
And yeah. Dave says, like, no way, no way. Yeah, okay, you did? Okay, good. Okay, so for some reason, the computer then starts writing out Dave's suicide note and changes his voice for it. Like, I never understood
mind games. That. Just mind games.
Yeah, well, the guy's about to be dead anyways. So, Fritz somehow gets this guy and hangs him, we find out. Buffy's puzzled by
hangs
Dave.
Him with what
exactly? Well,
what
never,
is, we, what we did he know. You think maybe, it's like extension cords?
Maybe it's one of those big thick cat nine cords or whatever. Who knows? They use something, anyways. Forgive him, mom and dad, and stuff like, yeah, whatever. All right. Buffy's puzzled by Dave would try to kill her, doesn't even know about Fritz. Of course, worried about her hair because she is still Buffy, so thank goodness for that. Giles thinks he knows why, explains that monks would trap demons in books until the pages were read aloud, and then they're unsure, like they know that the pages were read or whatever, but they're unsure where Malcolm could be, and then they figured out he was scanned, and now he's in the internet online once again, a word that Buffy doesn't even know. So they decide to delete Willow's files. And that's when Moloch shows up, a pixelated Moloch. And boy, that brought me back. That was.
Yeah.
That was 1997.
Leave Willow alone. Leave her alone.
Yeah. So you hear this voice like that. So he has his voice, right? He has his voice in the thing. Now, usually when he's talking to like Willow or something like that, he sounds like Hal from 2001 A Space Odyssey, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah.
But in this one, he has his voice or whatever. So, yeah, yeah, tells them to leave Willow alone. So Buffy and Xander said, you know, they gotta go find this guy. So they go to the computer lab, Buffy goes to the computer lab to find out what's going on. Finds Dave just hanging around. Get it? Trying to make light of the situation. It's not cool. So his suicide note pinned to his chest. He didn't even have the guts to write it out. He did it on a computer, waited for it to get printed, blah, blah, blah. No one figured that part out. So heads back to the library to tell them. Buffy and Xander head to Willow's, leaves Giles in charge of getting Moloch out of the computer, which is pretty smart. We get to see Willow's place for the first time, guys.
Yep.
Did we, though? We only saw, like a room.
You saw, like, well, the living room and her room.
A couple of rooms of Buffy's place.
The kitchen, her bedroom.
Yeah.
The
living room. Anyway.
Yeah, the entryway, I guess. Yes, they've seen the entryway a few times. They get to go there, whatever. But Willow gets kidnapped, chloroformed in classic 90s style by Fritz. Yeah, the sky is everywhere. What a jerk. Giles asks Jenny for help, asking her to believe that there's a demon in the internet. She says she knows.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah, she doesn't do anything. Yeah, she starts saying, it could be this one, it could be this one. And Giles says it's Moloch. And she says, the corruptor? Like, she knows exactly who this guy is or whatever. And then she explains that she's a techno-pagan, Ferris.
What the fuck does that mean? That's what I said when she said that. I was like, a part of my, I apologize. I know we don't cuss a lot on this show, but I had to tell you what I thought about what I was like.
It's like one of those German pop bands or whatever from the 90s.
I thought that made her a Christian Scientist.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, basically. So they sit at a computer. She goes online with some fellow techno pagans to form a circle of some kind. I guess an online circle of Kalis.
Yes.
And they start the incantations or whatever.
Starts pinging off the face of the world.
Yeah, whatever. So you see Willow over at CRD with Fritz, with some CRD guy, and you hear Malcolm's HAL 2000 voice saying it's nice to see her and stuff like that. We finally get to see him, and he looks like a mix of Predator and Jason X.
Yeah,
uncool. Then he starts talking about how nice it is, you know, to be free and stuff like that, and puts his hand on Fritz's head, talks about how nice it is to kill again. And just kills Fritz. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't too upset with that kill.
No, me either.
Yeah, bye, Fritz. You know, may your memory be a blessing. So, Buffy jumps over the fence to CRD, no problem. Xander, a little less graceful.
Mm-hmm.
Totally wipes out. Moloch's talking about wanting to repay Willow for freeing him, and he's also happy. Man is transferring money to a Swiss bank account for someone to kill his mother.
You know, again, the randomness of this episode just blew my mind. You have Nazis, you have whatever the third one was, the second one was, and you this have- was like.
Attempted matricide.
I'm like, bruh.
Unbelievable. Also, for some reason, now this is a computer technology lab, right?
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it has toxic gas lines. Because
there
it wasn't, and they get gassed. Xander's getting knocked out from gas. Buffy is still fighting it. So that's when the incantation started, and poor Moloch's starting to get a little weaker. Willow rejects him, and he's about to snap her neck, and then, and also, one thing I have to say, this guy in this Moloch suit, he must have been, you know, just chomping at the bit to act, because his hands are everywhere in this. I guess you can't see a face, so you have to act with your hands. It's awful. Awful.
You got to talk with your hands, man. You got to talk with your hands.
Yeah. So he's out of the internet now, guys, but he still has his earthly robotic form. He smacks Xander, knocking him down, the recently revived Xander. Smacks him, knocks him down, pushes Buffy down. Willow starts hitting him with a fire extinguisher.
Yes. She does. Get a little physical. I like it.
She's you've seen her before with baseball bats and
fire. Willow, my type of woman.
Yeah. Then, you know, he throws Willow into Buffy.
Xander.
Buffy gets up, ready to square off with him, conveniently in front of a circuit breaker.
She stood up and she saw the circuit breaker, then she walked away.
Why would there be a circuit breaker there?
Well, it's a computer department. What do you expect? Of course, there's circuit breakers.
All right. So here comes the Moloch punch with the killing blow, but no, he gets zapped in this thing and explodes. So that's it. So there's the robot part. I always thought that there was a little bit of just the face of an endless demon or something. I don't know. Nope. He just blows up. you get to see Giles talk with Jenny later on.
I loved this scene.
Yeah. Where he starts talking about books.
The smell.
He likes books because they smell. And so they talk about how smell is a very powerful memory trigger. He says as if it's to last, and the getting of knowledge should be tangible, it should be smelly, right? Jenny then gives TMI because she left this chain. There's this weird thing she left in the library, and that's the reason why he had to go to her class to give it to her. So he gives her the story about the smelly books and stuff like that. He gives her the thing or whatever and says, you can have this dangling from your ear or whatever. And then she goes, that's not where it dangles from. It's like, what?
Yeah, that was, I didn't know where that came from.
That was a little innuendo.
But this thing is like this long.
It looks It looks like a corkscrew.
It
looks like a corkscrew.
What do you mean? It looked like
What Giles says. It's like you got your creature corkscrew. Well, that's not where it dangles from. Where else is it? Where does it dangle from?
That's not. What does she mean corkscrew whatsoever? It looked like one of the girls that pierce their belly buttons, and they have like little diamonds that go from their belly button down. Like that's what it looked like.
This was much bigger than one of those.
Well, I guess my eyes didn't
like this.
No, man. I guess my eyes were not the same as your guys because.
It was definitely a corkscrew.
Okay. Yeah. It was a long, shiny metal thing.
Yeah.
It was corkscrew in nature. Shape. Okay. Anyways. Yeah, gross. Anyways, so Willow, we get to see the Scoops back together again, lamenting, looking back their adventures for this past hour. Willow's on about how the only boy who ever really liked her turned out to be a demon robot. That's when Buffy reminds her that, she fell in love with a vampire. And poor Xander reminds him how he had a crush on a praying mantis. Right. So he talks about, that's life on the Hellmouth. And as long as we're here, we're doomed. And then they start laughing themselves into sadness, and that's the end.
Lied to me.
Okay, why?
Because you told me after that one scene with that one show with the witches, right? That'll be the last episode. They don't deal with non-vampires, and we've dealt with three episodes of non-vampires.
I don't think you misheard him, because he definitely didn't say that. There's tons of episodes in Buffy that deal with non-vampires.
Maybe I said the first one. We have tape, Rob. We'll look at the tape.
Yeah, find the tape.
You lied to me. You lied to me.
I did not. There's no way I would have. I've seen that one. Yeah, and it's like there's 143 episodes. They only, they only did one without a vampire. I don't think that.
No.
I know. I thought you were, you know, off of your, you know, crazy pills, but you know, but I believed you because you're the Buffy expert. But you know what? Now I don't believe you anymore. I'm scarred.
Hey, guess what?
Our relationship can never recover.
Guess what? Next week, there's no vampires either. In fact, in this episode, there wasn't any vampires. There was no Angel in this episode. There was no Cordy in this episode either.
She's not a vampire.
No, she wasn't in there.
Yeah, like she's missed like a lot of episodes.
She's missed like three or four, so three of them. I think
that's
she
a
missed
lot out of eight,
praying,
Rob.
The praying mantis one. Yep. She missed some episodes. Look, she's Cordelia Chase. She has better things to do than to hang out with these guys. Okay. She's probably at the mall.
Probably
at the mall on date with a senior or something like that. Because
that's we're yelling at someone for having this right.
I like that scene. So next time, Sunnydale finally gets a new principal, Ferris.
Finally.
And he's no dummy, if you know what I mean. So, the next episode is The Puppet Show. Thanks, everybody, for watching iRobot Eugene and talking and watching us talk about it. Ferris. Now, I'm going to say that I hope that you don't have any adventures with the non-vampires. But what else are you up to on the internet these days?
Every Friday, guys, 3 o'clock Pacific on our sports channel, LGR and the Highlights. Me and my man Caleb, we talk American football. Sorry.
Don't make it sound too exciting.
Well, this is going to be a bad week because both of our teams lost. So we'll be commensurating in sadness. As well as every Friday, 8 o'clock Pacific, me and Delia, we have the Open Table where we just have fun and just talking what we love. And, this week, we're talking Christmas music and Christmas movies.
Unbelievable. Good timing for it.
Yes.
Yep.
I suppose. I suppose this would be the week to talk about it.
Yes.
Ideally, what's going on with you?
Starting 11 over on the Highlights channel, me and Snark talking about the English Premier League. We're doing episodes live on Tuesdays for the next 2 weeks because of the holidays. Unsure of the time quite yet, but we'll tweet that out, twitter.com/LGR_network. And like Ferris said, the Open Table, 8 o'clock this week, the Christmas episode, next week our New Year's hangout, so that'll be fun. And this show, of course, every Thursday 3 p.m. Pacific, the Rewatchers Council, watching Buffy, which I'm really enjoying.
Yes, it's been terrific. I'm so glad we're watching the show again, talking about the show, and getting to see people watch the show for the first time. I think it's very odd, but I am enjoying it very much. One other thing, Let's Get Ready Network after Snark. Weekends on the channel, on the entertainment channel here. Now, we've had a few weeks off. We're going to be back in the new year. And no idea what we're talking about, obviously. No idea how we're going to set things up, when it's going to start. But we will be back in the new year. I can promise you that. Until next Thursday, guys. I want to say thanks for watching the Rewatchers Council. And hope to see you again.